All right, guys. I want to say one thing, that it's a lot harder to stand in front of 140 guys than it is to pitch in front of 10,000. So I'm going to start off with a little story from my first full season, or my first short season of pro ball. I went up to Burlington, Vermont, and which is the short season team of the Oakland Athletics. And I went in there, and the first day I'm in the clubhouse, and I get to see and talk to the guys, and they said, "Hey, we're going to go to church tonight." And I said, "Oh, church? Wow, okay." And I'm talking like 10, 15 different guys are going to go to church. And I said, "Well, this is going to be a lot easier than I was anticipating, going to church and, you know, staying in my faith and everything." And after the game, the guys are getting ready. It's getting 11 o'clock, and I'm thinking, these guys are, it's getting a little late to go to church. Little do I know, Burlington, Vermont is where the University of Vermont is, and church is called Church Street, where the strip of bars are. So these guys aren't going to church to worship. They're going to get hammered. So I thought that was pretty hilarious. It was a little bit difficult than I thought. But like my dad said, my name's Nolan Sanburn. I'm a pitcher with the Oakland Athletics. I've been very blessed and fortunate to have that opportunity. One thing that I want to talk about today is how to become the man that we're not wanting to be, but the man that God created us to be. So when I was younger, I grew up in a good home. My grandparents and my parents took me to church every Sunday, even though we didn't want to go sometimes. We were tired from the night before. He woke us up. He got us up out of bed, and he made us go. So I've always been raised in church, and I've gone to church every Sunday all through college. I tried to go to church, but it got more difficult as it went on, just because of all the influences and the pressure to do everything else and that college comes along with. But like I said, I was raised as well as I could have been. I had all the opportunities in the world. My parents have been very good to my brothers and I, and have given us everything that we need to become successful. So at a young age, I had work ethic that was instilled in me to become successful. I had an opportunity to play baseball at UCT and then go play the Legion ball and the travel ball. And I was fortunate enough to play 2 years at Arkansas, where in 2012 I went to the College World Series, so that was a thrill of mine. So I was very fortunate to do that, and then I was fortunate enough to get drafted by the Oakland A's, and now I'm just another pitcher in the minor leagues trying to figure out how to throw strikes, and I still haven't figured it out yet. So, like I said, from a young age, I've been driven to become successful, because success is something that, it means a lot to some people, but a lot of people don't know the definition of success, and it means different to a lot of different people. Some may be, making $50 million a year in professional basketball, or as a janitor, cleaning the toilets as well as it gets cleaned. I don't know. But one thing that I said is it's been driven into me is the work ethic. And one thing that comes with pitching is the work ethic and the drive and the focus to focus on my craft every single day and to get better day by day. So like I said, another story from Burlington is I'm in Burlington, Vermont, and I'm pitching. I think I walked this guy on four straight pitches, and I got a Dominican catcher and a Dominican first baseman, and both these guys come up to me, and we're sitting there on the mound, and I'm sitting there, and these guys start jawing back and forth in Spanish, and I'm sitting there like, okay, what's next here? After about a minute, the catcher pats me on the butt, runs back behind the plate, and I'm like, what just happened right there? First baseman looks at me in his best broken English, said, "He told you to throw a strike." And I said, "Okay, thanks for that one. Appreciate that." So I think that's the best thing that I need to learn is how to throw strikes, if that's the best thing. So after my first full season, I got a chance to go down to the Dominican Republic for a little missions trip back in last December. I'm actually going to go here on Tuesday. I'm leaving. Going to do it again. And I went with my agent, a couple of big leaguers, Justin Mastin with the Indians, Kyle Gibson with the Twins. And we're going to go down there and help out with this particular area that's in between two big cities, Moca and Santiago. And it's in the middle where neither city wants to fund this particular community. So it's really poor. There's a lot of poverty. It's not a very pretty sight. So we're walking around this community one day, and the houses are built out of wood, and you got some tin foil. You know, it makes you thankful for everything you have in America, just because you have a 1 in 35 shot to be more than American, and that's pretty incredible. Out of the whole world, out of all the people, you have a 1 in 35 shot. So it makes you thankful to be an American because of you have a very small window. So we're walking around this particular area, and we're trying to really understand the meaning of everything that we have and how thankful we should be. So I'm talking to one of the doctors. His name was Dr. Jones. Yeah, the Indiana Jones, whatever. But the guy's name is Dr. Jones. And we're walking, and I'm sitting there talking to him. I said, man, I just feel so terrible for these people. You know, look at this poverty. You know, these people don't have anything here, and look how fortunate I am. I have all these abilities. I have all, we have more money than they do. We have a lot of things that they don't have. And I said, you know, I could have, what's going on? He goes, I could have easily been one of those guys. He goes, you know what? You're right. You can go ahead and you can feel sorry for these guys. And that's all you can do is just feel sorry for them. Or you can use the abilities God's given you and you can make a ton of money and then give back to those people who are less fortunate. So I said, okay, that's a good idea. I think I'll do that. But one thing that I took away from going down the Dominican trip was either that, and also whether you're on the far left or the far right, America is the greatest country in the whole world. And we're never going to change that. So I go into next spring training, 2013. I'm really fired up. I'm looking forward to a good season. And I get there. I'm working as hard as I can to make a team and to move up and make it to the big leagues and do everything that every 7-year-old wants to do when they're older. And it's pretty great because I'm living my dream. I'm 7 years old. I've been wanting to do this, and I'm doing it. You know, I'm not where I want to be, but eventually, if I'm fortunate enough and God is willing enough, I'll do that. But I get to spring training. I'm working for about 3 weeks, and I throw one day, and I tear this muscle underneath my shoulder, and I was out for the first half of the season, and that wasn't a very fun ride at the very beginning because I sat there and thought to myself, God, what is going on here? I've been working my whole off season, the entire time I've been working for this, and now I'm going to get hurt right at the beginning of the season. What's that all about? So I was kind of bitter. I was bitter about it because I had such high hopes, and I was thinking of the opportunities that I could have to become this big league pitcher and this incredible athlete. And I felt like it was unfair. I felt a sense of unfairness because of all the work ethic and the hard work that I've done to prepare for the season. So I'm bitter and I'm moping around and I'm trying to figure it out. But one day I pick up this book my dad gave me for, I think it was my 18th birthday, called Not a Fan. Some of you guys may have read it. You may have heard of it. But basically what it talks about is it's the fact that you know who somebody is, but do you really know that person? I may know Justin Verlander, big league pitcher. I may know all of his stats. I may know how fast he throws. But I don't know one thing about his personal life. I don't know him personally. I just know about him. I'm a fan of his, but I'm not a follower of him. So one thing I did, I started reading that book. And it really hits you because it starts telling you what you need to do and you need to get in shape because I started justifying a lot of actions that I did. I'm sure there's some guys in the room here who justify some of their sins, and they justify some of their actions by saying, oh, you know, I've been doing this for a while, and I can continue to do this, because it's all right. Because everybody else does it. I'm better than this cat over here. I'm better than that guy. So you start justifying actions, and it makes you really take a step back, and you say, dude, I need to get this thing together. I can't believe I'm actually doing this, and I believed, and I justified what I was doing was okay. And after I got done reading that book, and I started doing a little bit more soul searching, I started to try and figure out, you know, what, there's got to be something more than just baseball, because my whole life it's just been baseball. I've been focused on baseball, and I've never really gotten a chance to step out of that box, and this is the first time I've ever been challenged for something. You know, I've been given a lot of opportunities. Like I said earlier, my parents have provided a lot for me, and I've been thankful to have those, but I've never had any adversity to overcome. I've been almost given a lot of things. I've worked hard, but I've been given a lot of things. And this is the first time that I've had a speed bump in my career, had a speed bump in my life. So I started doing a little soul searching, and I started trying to figure out, you know, what's next? You know, there's got to be something more than this. And I think God spoke to me, and basically what he was trying to tell me is, baseball is just my occupation. It's not the person that I am. It's not who I am that really matters. Baseball is just something that I do, and it happens to be in the newspaper and on television every night. And it's too bad they don't put more teachers on there, but they don't. So I'm thankful for that. But so I understand. I start to begin to understand that it's just my occupation. It's not. It doesn't define who I am. So basically, what that leads me to try and tell you guys today, and for me to learn myself, is that we need to focus on becoming the man God has created us to be, rather than trying to become the man that we want to be ourselves. So if I'm a baseball player, but I couldn't be an NBA player. Even though how bad I worked at it, I can't beat these guys in the YMCA here during the week. I can't beat these guys. So this leads me to my first Bible verse. Says Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose." So basically that's what he's trying to say, is that we got to become what God wants us to be more so than what we want to be. And no matter what we've done in the past so far, whether we've been in jail, whether we've been working at Kroger, whether we've been in the big leagues, it doesn't matter what we've been up to in the past. It matters about what we're going to do today and what we're going to be going on tomorrow. So it says our past should not and cannot stop us from changing our future and becoming the men we were created to be. But the question is, how do we do that? How do we become the man that God created us to be? Because there's a lot of different things you can do at that point. But my first point is we got to break it down. Being a better Christian does not happen overnight. We need consistent effort. So how do we do that then? We look at the goal at the end of the day and we say, okay, we want to be a great Christian. How do we do that? It's all the way down the line there. But you open up the garage. It's funny. My grandpa and I and my cousin Blake, we've been helping my grandparents clean their house lately. You open up the garage and there's stuff in there. And we say, we can't get to the back of that. How are we going to do that? Well, we have to start in the very front. We have to get ahead of it, one after the other. So when it comes to being a better baseball player and a better pitcher, I want to have a good season. I want to have a great season. I want to move up. But how do I have a great season? I have to have a good first half. After the first half, I have to have a good month. Good month turns into good week. Good week turns into a good day. Good day turns into a good outing. And then a good inning. Then a good hitter. And then a good pitch. I need one good pitch today. I just threw that guy first pitch ball. I got him 1-0. How do I get back in the count? I got to throw next pitch strike. I got to get the next pitch is the most important pitch. So we got to focus on day-to-day effort. Not months, not weeks, not years. Today. Little efforts over a long time become habits. So whether we come home tired from work and we just want to sit down and have a beer and watch the game, but the dishes aren't done or the trash isn't taken out. Little efforts like that begin. You say, okay, I'm going to do this for my wife today. I'm going to do this for my son. I need to help him with my homework. Whatever it is, it's a little thing to where over a day, it may seem hard at first, but then the next year you look back and it's a daily occurrence. Every single day turns into, I got to help my son with homework, take out the dishes, and then help make dinner with my wife. Whatever it is. Little efforts over a long time become a habit. Next one is surround yourself with quality men. When it comes to being a baseball player, I need coaches, teammates, and friends who support me and help me learn and get better. So when I'm in spring training and when I'm at these leagues and I'm in this, during the season, I have to surround myself with other quality guys who have the same mindset and the same motives and the same drive as I do instead of going out and just following the crowd. Because if you want to be successful, you have to travel the road that's less traveled. A couple of guys that I've surrounded myself with coaching-wise, you may have heard of Bob Welch, former big leaguer with the Oakland Athletics, Gil Patterson, who was a pitcher with the Yankees for one season, and Garvin Olsen, who was a pitcher with the Braves. And these guys are all coaches that I've been around this past two seasons, and I've learned so much about baseball and just so much about being a better man, and surrounding myself with these guys is so crucial in becoming a good pitcher. And that's basically the same way when it comes to our relationship with Christ. It says we need men who make us better. We got to surround ourselves with guys who have the same motives, the same drives to become the best that we can be personally. And it's funny, my dad and I and Bill Brutus, we all play racquetball together. And those guys are just a little bit better than I am. And I don't like to tell them that very often because their head won't be able to fit through the door. But we play racquetball a lot, and they're just a little bit better than I am when it comes to racquetball. And the reason I like playing with them is because it makes me a better player. I have to learn the angles better. I have to learn how hard to hit the ball, where to hit it. And if I'm just playing with some guy that I can beat, I'm not becoming a better player. I'm just being complacent. And being complacent isn't good. And along with that, surrounding yourself with quality men, it says, Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. It's the same way what we had at Arkansas when I was there for a couple of years. I had the saying up in the weight room. It says, iron sharpens iron. And it's kind of funny because I didn't realize it was biblical until I read this just two nights ago. But it's true. You surround yourself with good godly guys, you're going to become a better godly guy. And that's the key, is surround yourself with those people. Another one is read the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. And everybody in here knows that the Bible is our game plan. It's our book. It's everything that we need to aspire to be more like. It has everything that we need for our lives to be on the right path. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't read the Bible every day. It's difficult, but it's really not. It's just another excuse. I'm not as good as I should be. But I do know one thing is when I do read the Bible in the morning or throughout the day, it makes my day just so much better, so much easier and clearer that I can focus on what I need to be doing that day, that particular day. My focus is more on sometimes it's out of whack, or I'm thinking about this baseball game over here, or I didn't pitch too well last night, which is normally a reoccurrence. I don't pitch very well. I need to work on that. But when you go around and you say, I need to do something, what's going on today? Read your Bible, and you can even open that thing up and you don't even know where you're going to open, and it'll teach you something about that particular day. You'll learn something that day. Another thing about reading the Bible is it teaches us about fatherhood. Obviously, I'm not a father, but there's a lot in here. And I just heard a statistic from my grandpa the other night. 80% of men who were in prison grew up without a father in their home. It's a pretty alarming statistic, because you think about how much opportunity is lost, and how much you wonder how much talent are in those jails, how much talent is in those prisons, whether it's athletics or whether it's finance or whether it's market, whatever it is. There's a lot of talent in there. A lot of talent in there that nobody will ever know, because they made a bad mistake earlier on in their career, earlier on in their life. And that's the sad point is, when you make mistakes or whether you make good decisions, you live with those consequences, whether those consequences are good or bad. I've been working out with Bob Welch, who's the former big leaguer. He's a great pitcher and a great man too. He just tells like it is. He's someone that I aspire to be, pitching likewise. And he actually wrote a book called 5 o'clock Comes Early, and it's talking about him and his alcoholism and his abuse towards alcohol when he was playing pro baseball. He looks back at himself now and he realized, he tells us, every other day, I was so stupid. I was so stupid because I put alcohol and I put drugs and I put all this other stuff in front of my wife and in front of my children. I think about the opportunities that will come to each and every one of us, whether that's being a baseball pitcher, whether that's being in finance or whatever it is. And if we don't have a good holding on what we're doing personally, how are we going to be able to teach our children that? How are we going to be able to teach our kids that, hey, this is what we need to do. Do as I say, not as I do. That's not fair to your kids. And then another guy, Gil Patterson, told me, he said, start becoming the man you want to be for the rest of your life, and start becoming the man you want your kids to look up to. And I think that's pretty incredible wisdom. Just because it doesn't say anything about the Bible, it doesn't say anything about God, but it just talks about how much you want it for your children. You got to be selfless here, because your children are the next upcoming generation. They're the people that's going to be in here next, going to be working the jobs, going to be making the decisions, who's getting put in office. How are you going to raise these kids to become the next incredible generation? And then persistence. We got to continue to work every single day. We got to get better every single day, just like I said earlier. A year turns into a month, and then a day, and then that particular action, that particular day. You got to have a daily attitude to get better. Now, greatness in any aspect of life is only achieved through resilient diligence. Laziness is not allowed. I have that written down because everybody's lazy every now and then. You wake up one morning, you're a little sore because you played racquetball the other day, or you're tired from working because you just worked overtime. You know, we're all grown men in here, and laziness is not okay. It's unacceptable, because you may have had a tough childhood, you may have had a tough growing up, but your childhood is over now, and it's time to put your big boy pants on, and it's time to grow up. I think that, I'm obviously not as wise as a lot of guys in here, and I'm not as smart, but I do know that hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. Because a lot of people have talent, but a lot of people don't want to work for it. And I read a quote one time, and it said, if you don't work 100%, it's sacrificing the gift. Which means if God's giving you these abilities and you're not putting up 100% effort for it, you're just sacrificing the gift God gave you. How unfair is that? He gave you these abilities and you're going to waste them. It's unacceptable. So ask yourself this, what's the definition of sacrifice? I think sacrifice is a big word, because it comes down to laziness. If you want to be successful and you want to be a better Christian man, you want to become the man that you were created to be and the man that you want to be, what is the definition of sacrifice? How much are you willing to lay it out and say, I need to do this to become a better man. I need to do this to become a better husband, or this to become a better son or a better father. It's important. Sacrifice is so important, because if you don't give everything that particular day, It's just going to go by. Yeah, it's just one day. It's just one day. Make an excuse. Just one day. One day turns into a week. Turns into a month. Turns into a year. Just like what we're talking about. The exact opposite of how to become even better. And starting with day one. 1 Chronicles 16:11 says, "Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually." I think that's a big one too, where it comes to the fact that we need to continually seek. Daily, daily, daily. If we become more godly men, like I said, with fatherhood, we can become better husbands, better fathers, better sons. And here's a garbage man story that this is pretty funny. When I was a little kid, I was maybe 6 or 7 years old. I used to go out to the back every Thursday morning to watch the garbage man pick up the trash because I wanted to be a garbage man. I thought that was the coolest job. I wanted to sit on that back of that dump truck and ride that thing all around. I thought that was the coolest thing in the whole world. The guy says, "Kid, don't be a garbage man. You want to be a doctor." I've changed my perspective on things a little bit, but I still think that garbage man was really cool. But you know what my dad told me? He said, "You know what? If you're going to be a garbage man, you be the best garbage man you can be." And I think that's the most incredible thing that a father can do, is tell you, no matter what you want to be the best that you can be. Be the best thing that you, the best person that you can be that day. You know, we're not promised tomorrow. But that's why we're saying make today count. We don't know. You know, God could come back in the next 10 minutes. You never know. He may not. But we need to focus on today, because today is the only thing that matters. The same way with pitching. It's the next pitch. No matter what I've done in the first inning, doesn't matter anymore. I'm in the seventh now. So I got to focus on this pitch right here. This is the most important pitch. So you may need to ask yourself, how bad do you really want it? How bad do you guys want to be successful? How bad do you guys want to be better Christian men? It's easy to make excuses. It's easy to slip by and say, "Ah, it's just one day. I'll get it after it tomorrow. I'll get after it tomorrow. I'll do this tomorrow." But you have to ask yourself, how bad do you want it? And I ask myself that question daily. I look in the mirror in the morning and I say, "You know what? How am I going to become better today? How am I going to be more of a success? How am I going to create a better opportunity for tomorrow?" Whether that's in baseball, whether it's reading the Bible, whether it's any of the things I've listed earlier. And you know, this is something that I need to work on as well too. I'm not trying to preach. I'm just trying to tell like it is. You know, this is the guidelines. This is the truth. We all need to work on this more. Some of us think we're better than others. And some of us are. But at the end of the day, none of us are perfect. We all got to get better. So ask yourself, how bad do you want it? So whether it's the top of the first inning or the bottom of the ninth, the most important pitch every single time is the next pitch. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for these men. I want to thank you for this opportunity to speak to them and to give wisdom that hasn't come from me but come from you. Lord, I pray that these men here, whether it's not all of them, but I pray that one of them takes something away from today and applies it. Lord, I pray that we all become better brothers and sons and fathers in here today, and we can focus more on you every single day. I pray that it's not we don't look down the road, but we'll look at today. Thank you for everything you've given us, God, and I'm thankful for everything you did for us. I pray that you keep us all in good shape over the holidays, and keep them all coming back next week. You know, I pray. Amen. Thanks, guys.